and welcome to part two of episode two of the Women of Color Empowered Show, hosted by Kimberly Lee Miner, CEO of the Women of Color Retail Alliance, www.wocretailalliance.org. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, producer of the show on the Incandescent Radio Network and Incandescent TV, where we bring you fascinating interviews by entrepreneurs around the country. Our favorite question, what's your story? We know you are going to love our guest today, fashion industry exec and CNBC correspondent, Sandra Campos. She is an internationally recognized retail tech CEO who is the child of immigrant parents. Her upbringing was characterized by a focus on education and helping out her family's tortilla business from a very young age. While she was experimenting with her own entrepreneurial ventures, Sandra's love for fashion and buying led her to New York City, where she was thrown completely into the deep end. That was followed by years of working multiple jobs, paying off debt, and eating potatoes for lunch, all of which shows Sandra the importance of resourcefulness, grit, and never giving up. In part two, we know you are going to love the insights and helpful information that Sandra shares with our host, Kimberly Lee Miner. If you missed part one, check it out on our Incandescent channels, Incandescent Radio and Incandescent.tv, and also on Walkra's iTunes channel, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. All right, ladies, let's get started with part two, episode two.
And I've dealt with it. I know you've dealt with it. Like, how do you deal with a situation like that? Because I think you've dealt with it at most levels, right?
Let's face it, we still do.
Yeah. You know,
it's not going away. It's always going to be there. And it is very hard. It's very hard to, I would say, shut your mouth sometimes. And instead of being like, damn it, I wish that would have been me, excuse my language. But instead be like, you know what? That's great. I'm going to support that person. And that is great that somebody got something who can actually really make an impact and stay close to that person. It's really hard to do it. It's easier to say it, especially if you wanted that role or that job or, you know, whatever it is, right? If you wanted it, it's really hard. But I think we have to look back and remind ourselves often of the big picture. Not everything is going to be for you. Not everything is the right thing for you. And you sometimes we don't know that until much later on. But to go back to your point about relationships, everyone moves around in this industry. And once you've burned a bridge, you've burned a bridge across a whole different group of people.
That's
who
exactly
know that person right. You burned the bridge with. And you know, I've been caught in that myself. I'm sure all been caught in that at certain times. And sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's not okay. But at the end of the day, we have to just keep in mind, remember, it's a small industry. People move around all the time. What is it, every 2 years now, every less than 3 years in terms of that time frame that people stay in the same role. So knowing that at some point or another, you're going to come back to terms and you're going to come back in with this person. And at some point you're going to need them, they're going to need you, et cetera. And it's not just it for selfish reasons, but it's also like build your network because you can learn from everything. You can learn from a negative. You can learn from a positive. You can learn from good people and bad people. You can learn from people who are screaming at the top of their lungs and people who are doing it very quietly. So I try to observe. I try to learn. And you talked about women and women being competitive. Men are competitive. They just do it differently. And what they do more of, though, than I think we have done, generally speaking and broadly speaking, is this connection and bring your friends in and put your arms around them and say, hey, I'm putting this money into this deal. You want in? Very simple, right? We haven't been great at it. If you look at brand management companies, they're all owned and run by men. There's not one brand management company that exists in this industry that is owned by a woman.
Right.
Marquee, ABG.
Iconics.
All of them, right? Look at them. And who do they call when they want to license X, Y, and Z brands across all the different categories? They call their friends and they're getting the deals done. And for the most part, most of them are going to be men. I've been in those rooms. I've listened to those calls.
Yep, me too.
And you observe how they do it. Why can't we do the same thing?
Why can't we? That's a great question. Like, I'd like to put that out to the world. Like, why can't we? What gets in our way of making those phone calls with each other? You do it.
Competition. What is it?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, funny story about competition. I was probably This is when I was at Express and I had been promoted, I think, 3 times. And at Express, when they did promotions, you didn't know because it was all about relationships and sponsors, right? So they were having conversations behind the walls and you didn't know it. And then they would call everyone into the atrium and they would start to announce promotions. And I don't know what position I was getting promoted into, but you didn't know it was happening. Like they would just call you 5 minutes, meet in the atrium. And I got a promotion. And there was a woman who had started the same day I started. And I had gotten a couple promotions. Then she reported to me. And then I was getting another promotion. And there was this arched doorway. She was the only person standing in the arched doorway because everyone else was around the atrium. And I didn't even know I was in competition with her. Like I didn't think about it. And they announced it. And I'm walking up to the podium and I look over, she's standing there and she turns around and she walks away. Right. And I was like, what is that? What other people are thinking? Cause you know, then you get in my head, right? Cause I'm like, why would she do that? Well, I've never done that. Like I've always been happy when people get like, what's the, you know, and
throughout. And have you always been happy?
Really? You know what? I don't think I've been sad. Like maybe I haven't been.
You've probably never done this.
I never did that. And I never really, this is what I would think. Damn it. Maybe I wanted that. Mm-hmm. Or that's a really cool opportunity. I didn't even know that existed. I wish I was considered. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I would say, what didn't I do to get in front of the right person to be considered? Then I would say, maybe you were considered and you're not the right person. Right. Like I would take myself through all those changes, but I always made it about me. And I think that's just because that's just who I am. I'm always beating myself up, but I always made it about me and I never would do that to that person because I did kind of think about like, oh, I won't want that. But I always thought it was like, what didn't I do to be in that position? I never really got upset with the person, maybe when I was much younger, but I never got mad at them. Like I didn't flip them off and I didn't stop talking to them. I think I wasn't that person.
Right. I think that if anything, I always love making sure that people have takeaways from conversations, right? And what are the takeaways that we can get that actually somebody can apply into their own role based on the fact that perhaps we have a little bit more a few more years under our belt, right. And a little bit more experience across different types of companies and organizations. And habits we create. And I believe that we create luck out of the habits that we also infuse into our lives. So the habit of being able to go over and walk over to somebody and congratulate them on something, the habit to be able to go and say to somebody after they made a presentation, it doesn't matter who they are, right? Whether they're above you or a peer to you, that was a really well done presentation, or that was a great question that you asked. How much better do you feel when somebody comes to say that to you?
Right.
You feel so much better about yourself. You feel so much better about the work that you had done. You feel so much better in so many different ways, and it doesn't cost you a dime to do it. The more you can infuse that as a habit to do and be observant of others and think about others, the better that makes you, honestly, as a leader. Mm-hmm. Better makes you in terms of somebody who can also grow and learn from those people because they're going to come back and help teach you too. Right. And I think it's a really great practice for people to get into regardless of what level, what role they play in an organization is just be observant, be the one to provide that compliment, male, female, older, younger, none of it matters. Just go out and take that extra step and that extra minute to tell them what a great job they did, you know, or congratulate them on that collection looking so well merchandised together, or, you know, what a great end of season they had, or other things, so many things that we can do that we come across every single day. And if you build that muscle and you build that habit, again, which we all know takes time to do, then you're not going to be the person that's doing what you got in your face. But you're going to be that person that somebody's going to rely on and say, I know that person. I want them on my side. And I want them by me at my next company because I know that they're somebody that I can trust and rely on.
So we've talked a lot and I could talk all day. But we're kind of coming to the end. And I saw something. I was at a career fair at the Ohio State University a couple of days ago. And I saw something that it touched me. So I'm going to share it. And I'd love your feedback. And then I'd love for you to be that voice of advice to the young lady. So we're at a career fair. It's a room full of tables, different companies. And we were there as the Women of Color Retail Alliance as a support to these graduating seniors. And this young lady was standing at our table and her girlfriend was saying, "You are smart. You are beautiful. You are creative. You can do this." And she was shaking. She's like, I can't walk up to these tables. I don't know what to say. I can't. I'm going to leave." And her girlfriend was holding on to her. She's like, "You can't leave. You need a job. And you need to be able to walk up to the table and explain who you are. It's okay. Just say hello. I can't. What if they don't like me? What if..." She's like, "You're smart." And so I was like, okay, they need to have this moment. I'm not even here. I saw this. How can we make it better for young women to feel comfortable? Because we were there for 5 hours. And the reason I say young women is because it was 98.9% young women. There were two young men that came through. As we end our conversation, what can you say to her so that she can take that first step to her future?
Well, I'd say that there's two sides to that, because one is I'd like to say something to her, and two is I'd like to say something to people on the other side of the table. As how, well, I'll start with the other side of the table, which can be any one of us at any level. How you respond, what your facial expressions show, it's the same thing as when you go into a store and somebody doesn't care about you and they're not even looking at you in the eye. They're giving you lack of customer service. Versus somebody who really cares and is like listening to you and putting a smile on their face is going to already make you feel more comfortable. So that's the one side of the table. For somebody who's coming in and who is nervous and is not great at speaking to people and perhaps is getting clammy hands and feeling very uncomfortable, I'd say practice, practice, practice. Thank God the person had that friend who was holding her hand and pushing her. But when you practice, and I've been telling my kids since the day they were born, practically, look people in the eye, you're going to give them a strong handshake because it says so much about you. And they still remember this now as young adults, mm-hmm. all the things that I tell them. In some cases, you might have to put your mouth into a brown paper bag and breathe deeply to calm your nerves, but practice, 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 and practice with people that may not matter to you in a job. Practice when you're going to the grocery store, looking somebody in the eye, shaking somebody's hand, you know, that may be an introduction from your parents and their friends. Just practice on having that level of confidence with meeting strangers, because what's the worst thing that can happen? Mm-hmm. And I am not saying I always had the confidence, but I wish I could tell my younger self, what's the worst thing that can happen? Yeah. Not much. They can say, no, you can walk away. Your life is not over at all. But you've learned something new from that individual, and you'll get better. And you'll get better each and every time. So practice, practice, practice.
Well, I just want to thank you, Sandra Campos. I want to thank you for being an empowered woman who empowers women. And that's it. You know, your life story speaks for itself, and the lessons that you've learned represent a full appreciation for what it takes in life to be successful, as well as relationships and being there to open those doors. And so I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for your time today, and I want to thank you for just being Sandra. Thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you. It's very nice. And, you know, life is not over. We've got a lot more to do and a lot more to go. So, and I keep learning. And so, thank you. And thanks for sharing your own wisdom with everyone and for doing this.
Kimberly and Sandra, what an amazing interview. It's the perfect way to end our two-part series of episode 2 on the Women of Colored Empowered show. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, producer of the show on Incandescent Radio and incandescent.tv. Be sure to tune in for episode 3, dear audience, coming in May 2024. This one features Brandis Daniel, CEO and founder of Harlem's Fashion Row and the nonprofit Icon 360. We know you are not going to want to miss this. As always, thank you all for being part of our incandescent family. Remember, be incandescent. We'll talk to you soon.